Number 1.
We all understand that seeing is believing. The thing we don't understand is what happens when you reach past the point of believing and start knowing. It can be terrifying, because that's when you realize that they can see you too. This is a true story. When I was 17, we moved into the third floor of an old shitty apartment building in an old shitty apartment complex. The only saving grace to this community was that it was surrounded by a spacious lawn of green grass and had tall trees for privacy. A few weeks after we moved in, I noticed that certain objects weren't where I had originally left them. They would show up in random places hours or even days later. One day it would be my keys, the next day it was my wallet or phone. Once I even found a small stuffed animal inside of a toilet tank. It was causing the tank to back up, so I looked under the lid. In hindsight, I see how these occurrences were a warning. Things got much worse when the nightmare started. Before bed, I would always close the closet door and switch on some kind of nightlight. It always felt like there was something unseen living in the dark, and that it was afraid of the light. When the nightmares first started, I assumed it was just an ordinary thing. Everyone has a nightmare once in a while. However, these nightmares were different. They were so lucid and graphic that I would wake up screaming in a different room or even outside my apartment. I've never had a problem with sleepwalking, but these dreams were having a physical effect on my body. With the stress of a new move, things disappearing, and my lack of sleep, it was safe to say that I was constantly on edge. But then again, so was the rest of my family. It seemed that we were all ready to be at each other's throats, at the drop of a pen. It got so bad that things became physically violent between my mother and me. I love my mother, but I will never forget that fight. Without getting into too much detail, it ended with her hands wrapped around my throat. Once she realized what she was doing, she burst into tears and ran into her room, leaving me shaken and wondering how all this could have escalated over something as trivial as a tape dispenser. Later, she apologized and told me that she didn't know what she was doing, until she, and I quote, snapped out of it. At the time, I had a small powder white multi-poo named Bleach. She was an incredibly sweet and affectionate dog who loved everyone. I kept her in my room when I was in school or at work. She had her crate, bed, and toys in there, so she was pretty content until I got home. One night I opened the door to my room and saw Bleach in the corner, shivering. As soon as she saw me, she hobbled up to my foot and started to cry. I immediately scooped her up and examined her. Her leg had been bent in a 90-degree angle away from her body. I had no idea how long she had been like that, scared, alone, and in pain. I absolutely fucking lost it. I wrapped Bleach in a blanket and screamed for my mother. I handed the small bundle over to my mom and told her to call the emergency vet. Then I stormed directly to my brother's room. I knew he had something to do with this. I'm certain my mother wouldn't do anything like this. And my brother had been told that he was not allowed to play with Bleach until I got home because he was way too rough with her. After pounding on his door and screaming at him for a moment, my mother called down the hall to me to inform me that he wasn't there. He had left for camp that morning. I felt my knees go weak. I couldn't understand. What had happened to my dog? The vet later said the break was clean, as if it had just been snapped. Fast forward a couple of months, and Bleach made a full recovery, and her cast had been off for a few weeks. Things seemed to finally be getting back to normal. The nightmares had gone away, and my keys were staying where I had put them. I returned home from school one afternoon to see my brother sitting on the couch with Bleach on his lap. His hands were stacked on top of her, seemingly holding her down. She began to struggle, and he let her find her way to the floor. She makes her way over to me, and I can see that she's hobbling again. I bent over to carefully pick her up. Her leg was broken, and it was turned away from her body, just like last time. But it wasn't the same leg as before. My mother walked through the front door just as I finished processing what had happened. I turned to face her and handed her the whimpering animal. Then I turned to face my brother. I had seen her on his lap. I saw him holding her down. Without thinking, my fist connected with my brother's face. He hit the floor and I pinned him on the ground, screaming about how cruelty to animals is the first sign of a sociopath. And how could he do this to a defenseless dog? My brother is 6'4", 200 pounds. I asked him if he was going to kill my pet. Then something happened that I have never been able to fully process. His facial expression changed. His eyes went hard in a way that I had never seen before, and his voice went deep as he leaned forward and whispered into my ear,
"Yes, and I'm going to kill you too."
I pushed myself off of him in sudden shock, and he immediately started crying and said that he never meant to hurt her and that he doesn't understand what happened. Luckily, the vet was able to mend this second break as well. After the second incident, I decided that it would be better if I found a new home for Bleach, and I couldn't stand the thought of her continuing to get hurt. I cried the entire time I was driving to give her away to her new family. I never saw her again. Fast forward a few weeks. Since I no longer needed to be home to take care of my dog, I called a close friend and I asked him if I could vent about all the shit that's been happening to me lately. I met him at a local coffee shop and just started unloading everything that had been happening, and I didn't withhold anything for fear of sounding batshit crazy. I'm sure anyone who was listening in would have thought that I was off my meds. After recounting the last 6 months, I sat there quietly and waited for his reaction. I expected him to call me crazy and walk out. Instead, he took a sip of his coffee and calmly stated that something was intentionally making my life a living hell. I thought about it for a moment. What if it wasn't all accident and misfortune? Something was doing this to my family, to my dog. I started going through everything mentally, putting the pieces and fragments of thought together. On the way home, I couldn't get the idea of something being the cause of my family's distress out of my head. All of a sudden, I started getting upset at this supposed entity. How fucking dare this thing? When I got home, I quietly went into my room without saying a word to my mother or my brother and sat down on the bed. I started talking to the empty room and whatever was potentially there. "I don't know if there's anything here, but if there is something here, fuck you." I paused, waiting for a response. When nothing happened, I continued, "You leave this place tonight. Do you hear me? Fucking leave tonight. This is our home." Satisfied I had gotten my message across, I got off the bed and went into the living room to join my family and watch a movie. I must have fallen asleep because I remember waking up on the couch and groggily getting up to go to bed. I walked into my dark room and flopped down onto my mattress. My closet was directly across from my bed. I can see that the door is open, but I'm too tired to give a damn. I awoke an hour or so later extremely thirsty. It hurt to breathe. My throat was dry, and I staggered out of my room and walked into the kitchen. Still half asleep, I managed to get a glass of water. I stumbled back into my room, holding the glass, feeling my way through the darkened doorway. I took one last sip and placed the glass on my nightstand. My head hit the pillow, and my gaze wandered over towards the closet. That's when I saw it. It was hunched down inside the closet, amongst my clothes. Its face was stark white and gaunt. Its eyes were black as pitch, encased in deep dark circles. Its mouth was black and thin. It had what looked like dirty, stringy hair hanging down in its face. But those were just the physical features of this thing. The expression on its face was nothing short of a nightmare. It wanted me. It hated me. I got the sense that despite the short physical distance between us, something was holding it back. But if this entity had the opportunity, it would have torn me apart. I was too terrified to move or to scream. I was barely breathing. I just remember staring at it until the darkness behind it seemed to swallow it up, and I passed out from exhaustion. I woke up to sunlight flooding into my room. I jolted out of bed, remembering what had happened just a few hours ago. My head snapped towards my closet. What was that thing? I started trying to convince myself that it had all been a dream, but I glanced down at my nightstand, and saw the glass of water sitting there. The strange occurrences had stopped, but I didn't sleep in my room again for another month, and I always close my closet door.
Number 2.
There has always been something in my closet. I'm not talking about one specific spot and one specific location. No matter where I moved to and lived, this thing has always followed me. Over the years, I've tried almost every possible option to try and rid myself of this thing. Seances, mediums, Ouija boards. I even had a priest come once to perform an exorcism, which evidently is nothing like in the movies. Nothing has ever worked. Fortunately, though, this thing has never become angry or aggressive despite my attempts to banish it. It just stands by passively in my closet and watches me, like a shark in a tank watches as people try to scare it away from the glass. I don't know what it is exactly, but I've long since resigned myself to its companionship. Every night, a few minutes after I climb into bed, my closet door slowly opens, and I see two pale orbs reflecting whatever moonlight sifts through my curtains and into my room. At first, when I was a child, it horrified me. I remember countless nights in which I would remain frozen stiff as my closet door noiselessly opened. I would breathe as shallow as I could to be inaudible, terrified that any movement would cause the thing to attack. Many nights were spent in this deadlocked silence, neither of us moving. Of course, my parents chalked it up to the typical child's nightmare of a monster in the closet and gave me a nightlight. This only made things worse. With the nightlight, I could further make out its nebulous, elongated shape and see its pale marble eyes with even more clarity. The next night, I told my parents I didn't need the light anymore. During sleepovers as a kid and a few passionate flings as an adult, I noticed that the closet door would open only slightly, if at all, as if the thing did not want others to realize its existence. This, of course, instigated a campaign of sleepovers, as many as I could have, to avoid seeing the nightmare in my closet. Sometimes I would attribute my current promiscuity to a conditioned response. I mean, why sleep alone when you can have company, right? Despite this indisputable logic, my female friends will still jokingly call me a man-whore. And they're not wrong. Eventually, though, people can get used to just about anything. Even closet demons watching you while you sleep. I live alone now, my former roommate having moved in with his fiance. I don't know if it's the solitude of these recent nights, but lately the thing in my closet has felt closer. I was returning home last night, pleasantly buzzed. After a few rounds of post-work happy hour drinking, I got off the bus and walked up to the front door of my two-family home, noting the lights off in the upstairs apartment. I fumbled for my keys, and just as I turned the key in the lock, I felt a hard-pointed object jam into the small of my back, sending electric pain pulsing up my spine.
"Do not make a fucking sound, bitch, or I'll kill you. Walk slowly and don't do anything stupid."
The mugger grabbed my shoulder and pushed me through the doorway. My heart was pounding and adrenaline shot through my body, causing me to shake as though I were naked in a freezer. I did as he said and we entered my living room, and I struggled to find my voice.
Please, just take whatever you want and go.
The man shoved me and closed the door behind him. I turned to him and saw a man of average build, wearing a green army jacket, stained with brown patches and black pants. His face was covered by a black knitted mask with two eye holes haphazardly cut out. Something that under different circumstances might have been humorously cliché, but in this moment only served to make the scenario even more terrifying. He grunted and pointed a black revolver at my face, causing me to instinctively recoil and put my hands out in a supplicating gesture.
"Shut up and give me your wallet."
He thrust out his free hand and encouraged for me to expedite the process by waving his gun. I took out my wallet and gave it to him. The man opened it with one hand, the gun never wavering its aim from my skull.
"Okay, Matthew, I'm going to give you 5 seconds to tell me where you keep your valuables.
Adrenaline-fueled panic mixed with inebriated stupor produced a delirious mix of terrified and calm. From this, my brain decided that sarcasm would be my best choice for survival. Valuables? I'm an unmarried 27-year-old living in a shitty 2-family house. What kind of valuables do you think I have? The man responded by walking over to me and smacking me with the butt of his pistol against my head. Pain immediately washed over me, and my vision blurred. I had never been hit so hard before in my life. My head throbbed violently. I could feel the blood trickling down the side of my face and mixing with the tears in my eyes. The man stood over me and shouted,
"Do you think I'm fucking joking? I will kill you tonight. What the fuck do I have to lose? Now get the fuck up."
He clicked back the hammer of the gun.
"This is your last chance."
I commanded my legs to support my body, but they were wobbly and weak. I used the table next to me and managed to get to my feet.
"In my room,"
I said weakly. The man grabbed me by the back of the collar and elbowed me in the direction I had pointed. I stumbled along, feeling hopeless and genuinely believing that I was going to die. When we reached my room, I tried to turn on the light, but nothing happened. I looked at him apologetically and shook my head, causing me to wince in pain. He grunted and told me to get out of the way. He pulled a small flashlight from his pocket and told me to show him where. I pointed at the top of my dresser and said, "In there. I keep my money behind the socks." The man found a thick wad of $50 bills in an envelope where I had told him. It was $1,000. He turned to me again and said,
"What else do you have? Do you have a safe somewhere?"
Just as my brain queued up another sarcastic remark, a wisp of an idea crept into my mind.
"Yeah, in the closet."
He pointed at my closet door and said,
"In here?"
I nodded. The man walked towards the blackness, the old floorboards creaking with each step. It seemed that the rectangular frame of the door was swallowing up any light attempting to pass beyond it, and the small light from the man's flashlight was rendered virtually ineffective. He stepped forward into the closet. I could just hear him whisper,
"What the hell?"
when the door to the abyss slammed shut, ringing out like a gunshot. A split second later, he was screaming, slamming, and loud thuds boomed out of the closet door, and the man who had attempted to rob me yelled as though a meat grinder was pulling his limbs apart. The man's screaming soon turned into wailing, and I could hear him pleading for me to open the door. I just stood there paralyzed and shocked. Suddenly the door swung open. His mask was torn but still clinging on to his bloodied face, as though anonymity would somehow protect him from the terror that ripped and clawed and slashed at his soft body. Through the ripped mask, I could see 4 deep red chasms in his flesh that extended down from the left side of his face. Pulsing blood poured down his body from the wounds. His right arm had been pulled out of his socket and was hanging limply by his side, the white bone protruding from his torn skin. Our eyes met for a second, and we were the same. 2 men experiencing something beyond our comprehension that instantly shattered whatever belief we had in the order and transparency of the world. I hadn't realized it, but until then, the thing in my closet was just a horrifying idea, a construct that couldn't affect nothing more than a draft of air. Then everything snapped back, and an enormous black claw radiating dark fumes from its skin came slamming down onto the man's back with the sound of a pitchfork crashing through the wet mud. It then pulled him back into the darkness. After a minute of muffled, futile struggling, all sounds emanating from the closet ceased. I stood there, immersed in the deadly silence. Then the door to my closet opened soundlessly, and I could see 2 pale eyes, with newly defined pupils gazing out at me. I nodded slowly and walked out of my room, stepping over the pool of blood that was spreading across my floor. I woke up this morning on my couch with a feeling of a nail being steadily driven into my skull. I called in sick to work. I left a dark stain on the spot where my head had bled into the fabric. The throbbing pain was an instant reminder of the previous night's gruesome violence. I stood up and made my way to my room, The sun lit up my small home, which in contrast to last night, made the space look almost charming. I entered my room, expecting to see brutal carnage, but stopped in surprise. No grisly, forcibly detached limbs on the floor, no trace that the man who had tried to rob me had ever been there. The only thing aside from the stitches that I would have to get for my head to confirm what happened was the wad of money that lay on my closet floor, right next to the shreds of a black, knitted mask.
There's always a reason to be afraid.